sit down.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Is I'm gonna show up. This is an interview with Kay Carney. We're in Lewis, Kansas, at 508 East Edward Street, Kay's home. I'm Joan Weaver and Rosetta Graff. It's March 19th, 2009. Hey, Kay, can you give us your full name?
Yes, I'm Kathleen Verna Martin Carney.
And when were you born?
I was born January 21st, 1922.
And where?
Fellsburg, Kansas.
Can you tell us a little bit about where you lived in Fellsburg?
Yes, lived out on a farm. I was delivered at home. I had two sisters that thought I should have been a puppy. They would have enjoyed more, but... And I also had an older brother, and he was 14, and he was really didn't think he needed another little sister, but he got one anyway.
And what were your parents' names, including your mother's name?
My mother was Sarah Curry Martin, and my father was Vernie Sidney Martin. And they were great people. He was a farmer. She was a homemaker. And a very talented one. She was homemaker of the year one time for the state, which was a big honor. But it was all her. You know, everyone, we didn't have, no one had much money, but she really managed to have a beautiful home. We even had a buffet painted green one time to match the wallpaper, but they were great people, wonderful parents.
Do you know what year she was homemaker of the year?
Well? No, I really don't. But it was a nice honor for her.
And who were your grandparents?
My grandparents were Matthew Curry and Evelina Curry, and they, my mother lived at Belpre, and that's where my father, he came from Missouri, but he came to Belpre to stay with an aunt, and that's how they met.
What brought the Currys to this part of the country?
I really don't know. I probably the farming. However, they were, ran a grocery store and a restaurant in Belpre. They were old pioneers.
And had your father been a farmer in Missouri too? Or?
No, he hadn't. He came and he helped in the store, and then he was more interested in farming later.
Okay, can you remember back and tell us a little bit about the early childhood days, and you would have what you remember about the Depression or the Dust Bowl or any of that time period, what it was like to live in Edwards County then?
Well, I remember the Dust Bowl, yes. I remember Mother hanging wet sheets over the windows to help keep the dust out, and I remember my father standing out as crops were ruined and always saying, well, there'll be another year. And I went to a little country school out here. Sometimes my sisters went to Lewis to high school, so they would drop me off.
Was your school at Fellsburg?
I went the first two grades in Fellsburg. Third grade, I went to Lewis to school, and then I went to the country, District 11.
District
out here.
11.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But it was a great childhood, although it went through depression. My parents never felt like, or made us feel like, we were deprived of anything, because there's lots of love, lots of food. You know, all the farmers raised their own, and it wasn't that bad as a child. I'm sure it was for them, but we all survived. And they were very interested in education. My father was determine his children would have an education, and we all attended college. Two of us did finish, but the other two did, and did really well.
And he gave the same importance to the girls.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was during the Depression that my oldest sister graduated. And at that time, you could take a test and teach it to country school. And she did that. And she applied, and she thought she had got it, so she came home and cried because she wanted to go to college. It turned out someone else got it, so my father said, we'll manage some way. And she went to college. And she later became associate editor for Charm Magazine in New York City. So her education really paid off for her. She did well. And my brother, he was the oldest. He went to K-State too. I know he waited tables and did different things to get his education. But
and what did he go on?
Well, he went to Chicago then and was a salesman, and then he was in Manhattan in extension work, and then he came back to Lewis and worked as a sales representative out of Crosses. So he did come home.
Did he serve in World War II?
No, he didn't. He was married and had a small child.
And then you went to high school here in Lewis?
Yes.
And your family lived in town then? Or?
No, we lived in the country up till the time, during the World War II.
You moved to town?
We moved to town, yes. I was with my parents because Wayne was overseas at that time. So we lived right down the street from where I am now. So.
Do you know why your family moved to town?
Yes, my brother did come back then and take over the farm. And he did that for a while before he went to work for Crosses.
So did your dad sort of retire then? Or?
Tried to. It was hard for him to. But, yes, he retired.
I still just helped out at the farm.
Yes.
Did Wayne go to Lewis School?
No, he graduated from Garfield.
So how did you meet? Tell us about
that. Okay, this was, during the summer between my college years, Lewis had a skating rink, and that's where all the young people met. And he had just moved to town, and I thought he was really cute, but he was dating my girlfriend, and I was wearing another fellow's fraternity pin at the time. But we used to ride around and visit about our friends, and that was just all. And then he went to service, and I went back to college, and then I went to after 2 years, I couldn't decide what I wanted to do, so I went to Wichita and worked in Federal Land Bank. And we had a real storybook romance. I had bought some stationery that had a soldier on it, and I thought, well, what am I going to do with this? And I remembered Wayne and what good friends we were, so we started writing. In the meantime, we had both broke up with our former friends, and it just kept developing till he came home on furlough, and when he went back, I wore a diamond ring. So it wasn't too long that I rode out to California with my mother's cousin to go to see him. Well, instead we got married. I don't know what my poor parents thought. And they didn't know him, and they did. Wasn't sure that was the thing to do, but he turned out to be their favorite son-in-law, so it was great. And then he was shipped overseas, And I came home back to Lewis and lived with my parents and had Linda. And he came home on Armistice Day in 1945. And Lewis always had a big celebration, so a football game and all that, so it was just great. And when he came home, he was discharged in Colorado, and the train wouldn't stop, but they said he could slow down. It would slow down, he could jump off. So he did, and he went to his parents because he didn't know where I lived. But it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and he pounded on the door, and my dad went to the door. And he came in, and Linda was just a little over a year old. But she was a precocious child. She could not walk, but she could talk. And we went up and woke her up, and the first thing she said was, "Hi, Daddy." She had seen his pictures. So that was our romance. But, you know, I think a good way to start out is being good friends. And it all developed into a good marriage and good children.
Okay, now let's see. You were 2 years at college, so that made you about 20?
I was 21 when we were married.
When you were married.
Mm-hmm.
And he hadn't been overseas before you got married.
No.
He was in the service.
We were married in California. And he was first at stationed at El Cajon, and then he was stationed at Santa Anita, and also they were stationed in the stables. But and I stayed with him then.
Santa Anita racetrack?
Yes, uh-huh. And then he left, and he was going overseas, so that's when I came home. And then he went, of course, across the United States in a box car, what they called, 40 men and a mule, that's what they named them, and that was not a good ride. The trip from the European theater to the Pacific theater, of course, was by ship and went through the Panama Canal, and I had no idea where he was at the time, but they let them get off the ship when they went through the Panama Canal, and he met a friend that was able to call me and tell me where he was. So I thought that was a God thing.
What was it? Let's see. So you went overseas and you did not see him for how long?
Well, He left in 43, in March of 43, and he came back in November of 45.
So over 2 years.
Yes. Yeah, so
you didn't see him. How often did you get letters?
I would get letters in a stack. But he wrote almost every night, and I did too, of all the time he was gone. But he wouldn't get the... It wasn't like it is for the young servicemen now, that they can talk. They go email, they can talk, which is great. But, you know, I always had faith he was coming back, and I think he did too, so that made it easier.
And he was not present when your daughter was born?
No. No, she was a year old the 5th of November when he came home the 11th. So that was a big deal.
Did he ever share with you how he felt about not being there when the child was born and for that first year?
Oh, yes, a lot. It was rather funny, though. The next morning, like I said, she didn't walk. She was in a walker, and he came in his sisters all had babies at that same time, and he said, "Well, who's that?" But he'd seen her the night before, but she looked so different dressed. "Is that Bessie's child?" I said, "No, that's your child." But he was a great father. Well, he was in he was in ordnance, so he didn't see that much action, but he did see a lot, and he never wanted to talk about it very much. I was able to save quite a few of these OV mails and the day orders that they sent out and the different letters. We received lots of letters from the commanding officers about what they were doing. And
oh, you received letters?
Well, they were
news
not about him personally, but about, yes, I got them out this morning because one of my sons had wanted copies of them, and some signed by Mark Clark, some by other commanders. It's made them.
Well, I didn't realize the families got something like this.
Yes, we did. I'll show them to you.
Okay. Got something else. Oh, well, did you notice any difference in him when he came back? Do you think the war affected him?
Oh, yes, it did. He came back with malaria and rheumatic fever both, and he was...
Did he get that in the Philippines?
Yes. Uh-huh. And it was tough for him. He had nightmares and that sort of thing, but he was a strong man. But it was a difficult time. It was difficult for him. He'd left a bride. He came home with a child and a mother. And it was difficult, but it worked.
And when you got back, now you were living with your parents.
Yes.
So where did you live then?
We bought a house right away, and he worked for the garage as a mechanic, and then this malaria and rheumatic fever hit him, and he was in the veterans hospital for a while. So he came back, he was parts man, and he did that for a while, but... his first love was mechanics, so he set up a garage in a barn behind our house for a while, and then he went into business with Ted Vandery, and they built the shop that behind. At the same time, Willis McLaren bought the service station from Ted, and Wayne bought the garage, so they were in partners together then their business were independent, but they were there together.
Did the malaria affect him for the rest of his life? Did he have little bouts
Well, he was left more with the heart murmur than anything else from rheumatic fever, but the malaria didn't seem to. My dog is snoring. I lived with my mother, and I worked at the bank up the time she was born. Lots of support for the community.
In what ways?
Well, I don't know, just concern for all of us and for him. We had a newspaper that was wonderful to print everything about the servicemen, and that was nice, too.
Were there other young...
Yes. Oh, yes. There were lots of them. We formed a little bridge club. That was the first we learned how to play bridge. Was while our husbands were gone. Dorothy McLean had Jerry, and June McLaren had Carol, and So there was lots of support, lots of young wives that were here. I don't know. You know, it was the worst of times, but it was the best of times, too. We were all young. Thank goodness. You weren't that worried about... You were worried, but it was a great time, too, when they came home.
Did you know people whose loved ones did not come home?
Yes. Well, June, Wayne's sister's husband was killed. That was Carol's father. And there were others too, but most of them came back. But it was hard when they first came back. But you know, they came back heroes then, and that hasn't been true with other wars. And that's too bad, because the boys have given their lot of their lives for our country.
So he was in Europe for the victory over Europe, and then he went to the Philippines and had to stay for the VJ Day.
Yes, Well, I think he came home a little early because he did have a child, but they started sending him home. But, in looking over some of those documents we had, I think it was from Mark Clark's letter that telling that the war was done there. They were through, but they had to go on, some of them, to finish in Japan.
What do you remember about bombing of Pearl Harbor?
No, yes, I do too. I have to stop to think. I was driving. I was working at Kinsley. I worked then for a short time, and I heard it over the car radio. But it did, I guess, make that much, you know. It did make an impression, but it's not like with television and everything coming right home to you, that it's like it is now.
And you, how old were you then? You were born in, what was it again?
42.
42.
42. He was drafted. He went in June of 1942.
42? Mm-hmm. Pearl Harbor was in December 7, 8, but he was drafted because they thought they were going to be fighting in Europe.
Of course, that's where he went,
yeah.
Was to Europe.
So he was drafted before Pearl Harbor.
I had just looked back at those papers, or I wouldn't have said June 42, but I'm sure that's right. Mm-hmm.
I need to read my history.
Well, me too. I'm not sitting here not remembering either.
Deal with it, like
and I lived through it. The dates, really, I really had to look them up, because you do forget. And I lived through it too, but
when you were here,
Yes, I did. And I was reading that. I had fixed, had gone back and got lots of information for this son of mine that was interested. He came home with, he had saved his and I had saved mine. Well, he had $542. And he had saved, though, the $310, and he was supposed to get $300 mustering out pay, but evidently he didn't, because all he had was $504. And the only thing I had spent of what he had sent home was I bought a bedroom suit. But together we managed to make the down payment on the house and furnish it. I remember our kitchen stove was one that an aunt of mine had out in the garage, you know, with the oven on top. Mm-hmm. And he worked for Mr. Posey at the garage. He found us a refrigerator for $25. I think now the way my grandchildren have started out in their beautiful homes and their new thing, but, you know, they're not a bit happier than we were. But we were happy to be able to buy our home and start out.
Now, did you have your daughter in the hospital?
Yes,
in
Great Bend.
In Great Bend.
Mm-hmm.
And you were fortunate in that you had you didn't have to have living expenses living.
No,
so
that's why I could save what I had. And yeah. So that was great. And I've thought, my dear parents, going off getting married like that, then coming home expecting a child, but of course they loved her and loved having her, so she was Grandpa's girl. Yes, a few, not too many.
And they worked for the railroad, is that right?
Yes, that was their main occupation. Grace Rockwell and Tootie Robbins, several of them, you know, were young people then.
And could they live any place they wanted to in Lewis, or did they have a...
No, they could live any place they wanted to. If there were some down there, I think, that did have
housing
at one time, but I don't think. Grace's family lived, I think, a street there on, about across from the high school, someplace. I don't really remember that. The fellas, the boys were great athletes, you know. They really, Nick and Pete. And, no, I really can't think there was that much prejudice. There was a city ordinance that was supposed to have, and one Christmas, my children were beginning to scatter, and my mother just passed away, so we decided we wanted some children from Wichita for Christmas, which were Negro children. And we laughed about the ordinance. Nobody really cares. But that was such a fun Christmas, too. I had two little boys. They were great little boys. But
so there was an ordinance that they could not live here, or you couldn't be here after sundown? Or?
I don't know what it was. It's way, way back on the books, and there has been, I'm sure, some since then. But that was... But there weren't... I don't really remember having any when I was growing up.
How do you think the war changed your marriage or your life? Or did it?
Oh, I don't know. I think increased our faith, because that was very important, and maybe the ability to take what comes in life. I don't know how to answer, because I don't know how it would have been different if we haven't had the war.
Well, in a way, you were quite an independent woman because of your education.
Yes.
Emphasis on that, and you've been out and worked in Wichita. I mean, some women, the war got them into a war plant or something.
That's right. Uh-huh.
But you'd already.
I'd already done that, yes. Well, that was another thing. Our parents, I remember their philosophy was, give you wings so you'll fly away, but you'll fly back home. And my sister, like I said, was in New York, and I think we were raised to be pretty independent. Sometimes I think it's a curse instead of saying
that. Well, not all females were raised that way.
That's right. That's
after the war, that sort of
that's
thing.
Right. They, especially girls in the family, weren't.
And then for a farming family, too, it may have been a little unusual before the war.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were pretty super people.
Can you think of any way that the war would have changed Edwards County before and after the war? Were there differences? And did you stay? Maybe we should ask that. Did you stay in Edwards County?
Yeah, I think at that time, I think most, you know, young men, they came back and established their homes, which in later years they begin to leave, the young people. But
now most of the World War II veterans came back.
Yes, they came back,
and
we right, and we had a very active, you know, little city. We had two garages, we had two doctors, we had a dentist, we had hardware, we had, you know, it was very. They came back and made a success of their businesses. But
what was downtown Lewis like on a Saturday night?
Oh, it was great. Everybody came to town on Saturday night. We had one lady that lived out in the country, but she had to come early because she wanted their car in front of the drugstore so she could watch the people go in and out. And we had movie theater. We didn't have a theater. We'd have the community hall, or in the summertime they'd have outdoor movies. And they had a bandstand where they had a little city band, you know. It, like I say, it was good days. It's a good place to grow up.
Do you remember any celebrations at the end of the war or anything? Or
we always had in Lewis a big Armistice Day.
But that would be celebrating at the time World War One, and then it became.
Yes, And it was a big celebration, and then of course I think Lewis's big celebration was a centennial, which was a lot of fun. I don't know. Again, I forget.
Mm-hmm. In the 80s, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. But
and then you said you had a roller skating rink.
Oh, yes.
How long was that for?
Oh, I think it was here, well, probably 5 years, more like maybe longer, but that was the big thing for the kids to come in. Where the post office is now. And, kids that took band in high school, and then there were city. Older men, too, or women that played. And it was a thing on Saturday night, too.
Did you play an instrument?
Oh, yes. I played a clarinet. Squeaky clarinet.
Did you play in the city band then?
Oh, yes. Oh, that was fun. Uh-huh.
And you played for the Armistice 4th of July?
Yes. Yes, and on Armistice Day, they used to have a big celebration with going to the cemetery with the little girls all dressed up with their little baskets of flowers, and the boys with Boy Scouts with their flags. Sad to see what's happened to the little towns. I think the farms got larger, and the expense of setting up farming was beyond most young people's ability to do. And I don't know, maybe our children were more educated. They found other sources to leave Lewis and Kinsley. It's happened to all the small towns.
What else do we want to know about Lewis and Kinsley? We always sit over there at the library and we come up with these questions. You said, and this is in the 40s and 50s, we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Where the pub is now, that was the drugstore and the hardware store.
Yes.
Okay, and then the community center had been across the street. It was built early.
It has been here
a
long time.
And then
there was the large grocery store was just north of the community hall. Yes, and there was a shoe
grocery store on there.
Yes. There was one. Well, the hardware was down on the corner where the rest or the city building is now, and then there was a drugstore and a grocery store. There was two grocery stores, one across the street, and
so there was a grocery store and drugstore in the pub area.
Right, and there was two garages. There was a creamery.
And if the band show was where the post office was there a little park there? Was the co-op?
Mm. I think just small.
Small little park area.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's where it was. Or in that area somewhere. I really don't know. I was in that vicinity through there.
Okay.
Yes,
just curious.
Mm-hmm.
To
now, I didn't. You should have warned me you were going to ask about Lewis, so I could have thought
about
it.
Sorry, just a bonus.
I'm more concerned with World War II, I guess.
Well, I just thought of another question that I maybe wasn't clear on. When you went to California and got married, then did you stay with your husband?
Mm-hmm. Well, right after we were married, we had a room in an old maid's house. Another couple had another room, and we shared the kitchen. We weren't there very long till we found a little cottage, in people's yard, which was just a living room and kitchen and a bath and bedroom. And they had never rented to servicemen. But they did, and they just fell in love with Wayne. And from then on, they did rent to servicemen. But, and it was great. They were so good to us. They just adopted us. Only thing, I used to get mad. I would be so anxious for him to get home, and Goldie, the lady of the house, would beat me out in the yard to talk to Wayne. And she was always begging me to live in pie, but they were so good to us. And so that was our living. And then when he was moved up to Santa Anita racetrack, well, I just had a room there because we were there a short, very short time till I came home. But
so at that time, he would stay at the barracks?
He stayed at the barracks, yes.
And see
uh-huh. But now when we were in El Cajon, he could stay home. But when we were in Santa Anita, why, he had to stay there because they didn't know when they would ship out. I'd hear sometimes a train at night and wonder, well, is that it? But it wasn't. He sent me home before he left, which was good.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do, you know, money for, was the service pay adequate and entertainment? And what was life like out there other than waiting for him to come home?
Well, I worked at the bank there in El Cajon, too. We went to the movies, and we didn't have a car. He had a friend, Eddie, that had a car with a, what did they call it, a rumble seat? Mm-hmm. We used to go with Eddie in the rumble seat. That was our honeymoon. There was a mountain. We rode up the mountain in Eddie's rumble seat and down Mount Helix. And so that was our honeymoon.
We rode up and down.
Up and down. That was our honeymoon.
Second honeymoon?
No, I really don't think we did. Well, we had lots of honeymoons after the kids left. We had a good time going places.
Did you have service friends that you kept in contact with?
Yes, we did. In fact, the couple that stood up with us when we were married, he passed away a long time ago, but I still in contact with her.
Now, but did you know her before you got married?
No. Uh-uh. No. No. And she was there just visiting Alan, Wayne's friend, and the house she lived in, the lady had a little reception for us with the wedding cake and all that. We were married in a church with the service guys were our there for our wedding. But,
and then did you, like, telegraph your folks? Or?
I think I did tell them.
telephone?
I probably wrote them.
Just wrote them?
I might have phoned them. As it happened, my dad was in the hospital at the time, which, poor mother, double shock. But it
she
turned
out. She wanted to give you a big wedding?
Oh, you know, no, you know, it's kind of strange. I had two sisters and one brother. All of we girls were married away from home. The only wedding mother ever got to go to was Don's, my brother. Maybe that, my dad might have thought that was okay.
Well, you're not the most important one there when you're the mother of the groom.
That's true. You sure not.
And then you came back, like, on the train by yourself? Or?
No, I came, well, with another of the Army wife that had a baby, and so I came with her and helped with the baby. She lived at La Crosse.
And she had a car?
What?
She had a car you drove?
No, we took him on the train.
Oh,
but
on the train.
Uh-huh. I came with her, or we came together. But, and they were friends for a long time, the couple at La Crosse. They're all gone now.
Was the train ride, were there service men and lots of war brides?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. It was. I guess you never felt alone because there was so many service brides and friends. I think I've talked too much. No, I feel very fortunate. I've had a great life. I've maybe being sort of an independent person has helped, but I like people. I like to be with friends, and Lewis has been a good place. This was the first day he was home.